I recall listening to a podcast a while ago where they were telling the story of a woman in Chicago who lost her son when he was shot to death. Lisa Daniels is the woman's name. And I remember the story because it's a tragic story, but it's an amazing story of forgiveness, of divine mercy, really. Lisa is a single mom, and she had a pretty good job working as an administrator in a museum in Chicago. She was raising two boys, and while one of them was, you know, a model student and like a bit of, I guess, of a mama's boy, he liked to hang out in the museum with his mother. The other started getting involved with a bad crowd, and he started missing school and getting involved in some petty crime and later on doing drugs. And he began to sell drugs too. And one night, this son went with a couple of other guys to a drug deal. And at that drug deal, he was shot by another young man. And the police were unsure as to exactly how everything, you know, went down, and they said everybody was carrying guns at this drug deal. But this woman's son was killed, and the 18-year-old boy who shot him was arrested and charged with murder. This months go by, and there's, you know, a lot of grief and mourning that Lisa has to go through. But months later, the boy decides to plead guilty to the crime. And at the sentencing hearing, the mother of the victim was allowed to read what's called a victim impact statement. These are usually opportunities for victims of crime to describe the impact that it has had on their life in order for the judge to better assess how a sentence should be handed down on the perpetrator. Well, Lisa, and this is why I remember the story, Lisa talked about the impact that accessibility to guns and drugs had on her son. She talked about how those were the things that really killed her boy, and that the 18-year-old who pleaded guilty was just the conduit. And she said how she could imagine just as easily switching places and being in the same courtroom because it was her son who was accused of the murder of the young man who had just pled guilty to this murder. She asked for mercy on the perpetrator of this crime, the perpetrator of this murder, because she knew that if the roles were reversed, she would be pleading for mercy for her own son in that situation. And the podcast went on to talk about how in the ensuing years, this woman actually ended up befriending her son's killer. How she switched careers and she started to go work in the Illinois prison system and became a member of the parole board. And she works to help rehabilitate young people who she sees as being just like her son. And just like the young man who was convicted of his killing. And I'm always left in awe when I hear stories like that, stories of forgiveness and mercy that go beyond anything I could imagine myself being capable of. Stories that to me are examples of God's divine mercy. And I can't think that anyone would be capable of such forgiveness and mercy without having, you know, this incredibly deep and abiding faith. Maybe some people are capable of it on their own. I don't know, but whenever I hear stories like this, it's usually someone with a strong faith who's able to forgive like that. And while in the podcast they didn't delve into this woman's faith life, You know, I do recall that they mentioned that her having a lot of support from her church during those months of mourning and grieving. So I presume her faith in Christ played a big part in her being able to show that kind of mercy, that divine mercy. And today, this second Sunday of Easter, is what we call Divine Mercy Sunday. This is when we recall the incredible mercy Jesus has shown us and continues to show us even now. In the gospel today, Jesus appears in his resurrected body and shows his disciples his hands and his side. He shows them the wounds that he bore, the pain that he suffered for their sins. He shows them the suffering that he underwent for our sins. God's Son became one of us, human in all things but sin, Scripture says. And he died because when he stripped himself of his glory and became human, he submitted himself to the whims, the vagaries of human beings, to the jealousy of those in power, to the evil that can make its way into our human heart. And even though he was innocent, Jesus suffers and dies because of our sinful nature. And however, because he was also God, he could have stopped this at any time. Or at least he could have asked God the Father to stop it at any time. Well, in fact, he does in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before. He asks, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done." He knows what's about to happen to him. He doesn't want to go through this, but he knows that we need him to go through this for us. And that's why on the cross, he says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Jesus is asking for mercy for the very same people who put him to death, for the very same people whose sinfulness led to this, for the very, very same people who denied him and ran away, who betrayed him. He's asking for mercy for all of us. All the while, he's on the cross paying the price for us. That woman in Chicago was not asking that justice be denied. She knew that the young man who shot her son, she knew that he deserved to go to jail. She was asking for mercy precisely because he deserved to go to jail. Otherwise, it wouldn't be mercy. It would be justice. She later befriends the young man, and she doesn't work to free him. She works to help him rehabilitate his life, to turn his life around. You know, she didn't think that justice wasn't served in sending him to jail. She just was willing to extend the mercy of God, to the point where we would forgive that debt. That is divine mercy. Jesus on the cross is asking for forgiveness for us, and his willingness to go an incredible step further and to not only ask for mercy for us, but to pay the price that we owe. It's our sinfulness that deserves condemnation, and yet he pays the price for us. And now what we hear in the gospel today is Jesus coming into the room of those who ran away, who denied and betrayed him, and who weren't willing to stay there with him through that pain and suffering. And Jesus begins by saying, "Peace be with you," and showing them his wounds. And yeah, when he's showing them his wounds, he's showing them that it's really him, that it's not some ghost. But in those wounds that he still bears, he's also restoring the friendship to those whose sinfulness helped inflict those wounds. In those wounds, we have forgiveness. And he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he tells them to forgive sins just as he has forgiven them. It means that he's asking us to show the same divine mercy that he shows each and every one of us. And it means that he knows that humanly, it's almost impossible. At least it is for me. But with the Holy Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we can go the extra mile. We can turn the other cheek. We can show divine mercy. We can be like that woman in Chicago, channels for the divine mercy Jesus has for each and every one of us. And I pray that none of us has to suffer so much as that woman has in order to show it. But I also pray that we can recognize the mercy shown us and be channels of God's mercy for others too. That we can be so grateful for that mercy that it flows out of us, not just into us. But I don't know how we can do that without the Holy Spirit. I certainly have never been able to. I'm too weak. I'm too much like the disciples who ran away rather than confront the pain and the reality of the situation. I'm much more likely to go hide in the room and lock the door, and that, if not just try and lock away the pain that I was feeling or pretend like it never even happened, than come face to face with it. That's who I am. In many ways, I am extraordinarily fearful. But with the Holy Spirit, I can be strong. With the Holy Spirit, I can seek forgiveness and mercy, and I can offer that same forgiveness and mercy. And I have done those things. Not always well, not often perfectly, but I have, because I have allowed God's Holy Spirit to give me the boldness and the courage to try. And the thing is, whenever I do let that Holy Spirit push me beyond where I think I'm capable of, it has been a source of healing for me and has given me an extraordinary amount of peace. Jesus wants to give you his Holy Spirit. This isn't reserved for his apostles. This isn't reserved for those people locked in that room. This isn't reserved for me, for clergy or something like that. This is for everyone. He wants you to be able to offer forgiveness and mercy to those who have hurt and wounded you. He wants you to find healing and hope. And first and foremost, he wants you to have his peace.